This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water, just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker, and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good in it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need a spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
Hi, Football Friday today, live from Batavia Downs for the Legends and Stars memorabilia show and autograph signings, including later today, Joe Andreessen, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, all on the schedule for tonight, starting at 6. Right here at Batavia Downs. Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash? Call Salino. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Start your game day the Crosby's way. Cards.
This has to bring back some memories for you, does it not?
Well,
I mean, I've been here a couple times, but you were in this business for a while.
Kinda. So semi, yeah. I've set up in there. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
I have fond memories of those days. I walking through, saw a lot of familiar faces and some still close friends, so it's cool and
good deal.
I'm not the one to say anymore because I'm not really as involved by far, like from the hobby days, but it seems like it's still thriving.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, kids are interested in it. There's new product, and even if it is different, of course it's way different from when we were kids when it came to collecting. With autograph cards and memorabilia and just different things, way different. But at the heart of it, it's the same. And
yep,
like it's still as appealing to kids as it was, you know, decades ago.
And didn't the whole thing sort of overall get a boost during the pandemic or something?
Oh, yeah.
Like that happened, right?
At least, the vintage stuff that I had collected was very popular, went way up in price those years. You know, does that make sense? Maybe it does, that people couldn't go do things, so yeah, they needed a new hobby, you know, new things to keep their interest, and card collecting seemed to be one of those things.
I might posit that what happened is a lot of people started going through things in their homes that they hadn't been through in a long time because they were trapped in there, and suddenly, like, oh, I've got some stuff that actually is worth something, says the internet. I should get into this. And then there you go. You got more product, more consumers, more interest, more money. There you go.
Good that the demand was able to keep up with that in that case.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's fun to be here. There's a bunch of autograph sessions planned for tomorrow, too. We'll go through some of the times and the details as we go. Kids 12 and under here today and tomorrow are free. Everybody else, it's $10. It's 4:30 to 8:30 tonight for the Cards and Memorabilia Show, and then 10 to 5 tomorrow. Eric Wood, a part of the lineup tomorrow. Okay, well, the Jets won a game. We saw that. I watched it.
Yes,
I know it happened.
Yes, they did.
I know I can believe this.
They did.
There were certain things to talk about here. I think maybe the Texans are more interesting than the Jets. The Jets are still 3-6, and those odds aren't great. But Houston looked like it made sense why they weren't favored in the game. And they've got an offensive lineman who's out for the year now. They had the same trouble that they'd been having protecting C.J. Stroud. And without Diggs for the year, without Collins at least for these few games, he'll be back. You know, it's not when we do the power rankings, but it would be interesting
to
slot Houston.
Yeah, they really looked like they had, other than Joe Mixon and like one sort of broken long pass, I mean, Stroud rolled out to his left and threw it down the field long to Dell.
He showed his talent on that play.
Yeah, he did. But that was really it. Like, their offense was really had a tough night. And protecting him was a big part of the problem. You mentioned the injury on the line. Similar names, right? The guy who got hurt and the guy who replaced him had maybe the same last name and just a slightly different first name, if I heard it right. Anyway,
Green.
Whatever. They just could not protect him, and that just all fell apart. And too bad, because, I mean, you know, either way, I was going to be happy. Like, I'm glad the Texans got dinged and they're 6-3, because they have a head-to-head win on the Bills, and, you know, we'll see about playoff seedings and all of that. You know, the way the game started, just like nobody could do anything, and then you've got this Corley play. Mm. Was that early in the third quarter, or was that still in the first half? I don't remember when that was. He's just rolling into the end zone and drops the ball, and like, holy cow, like the most Jetsy thing that could ever happen, just about right there happened. That was amazing. But they recovered and, you know, got a couple plays out of their quarterback and won the game.
That might be the fumble going into the end zone when nobody's tackling you. The single most incomprehensible thing in sports for me.
Yeah.
And this guy, Corley, who's not Devontae Adams or Garrett Wilson, he's a guy who's yet to make a mark at all. You always, it's always that for a rookie, but then on top of that is the stigma with Rodgers and like how he can just sort of shun you if he doesn't trust you. But now they lose Lazard. And so here's a chance for Malachi Corley to make a play. It's like the first play he's ever made. How does a guy not, I mean, I'm tucking the ball inside my shirt.
I know.
On that, at that moment to go in, how does it ever happen that somebody is just like so addle-minded that they just so caught up in the moment that they just drop the ball like that?
So eager to style. I think. I mean, I can't imagine. Like, I'm so cool. Look, I dropped the ball just as I got over the goal line. I saw Eric Wood asking on Twitter about this. Like, you know, so he played pro football, obviously. He was like, as someone who didn't carry the ball, like, what is the thinking here? And I just think it's cool. I think it's cool factor. Like, it doesn't even mean that. Look at me. I dropped the, you know, it's just very casual and, you know, pretty stupid and undisciplined to, you know, not make sure you wait another step and then have your casual, I'm super cool moment. So I would assume this guy is shunned now. Although they did win the game, so maybe. I don't know. But I would expect that there'd be some shunning.
I don't think they went back to him. I don't think there was another play in the game, so maybe, but the Jets got enough. The Wilson catch is an all-timer.
That was hot.
Just, can I just say it, though? Clear and obvious? Terry McCauley is the ref announcer in the booth last night. He's the one for NBC that would always tell you that the standard is clear and obvious. Al Michaels was doing those games, too. Terry, what about it? It has to be clear and obvious, Al, you know, and as these things go, isn't that kind of like pretty useful, actually not terrible, actually just not the kind of thing that makes you crazy? Let's it's still going to be subjective, but let's remind everybody that the standard, this is what is actually the case or supposed to be in the NFL, is up here. We have a system, some of us hate it. But we have a system that can fix egregious errors, but they have to be egregious. It has to be clear and obvious, or else we're not going to bother. And that also should make it fast, because you should be able to, if it's obvious, you should be able to see it right away and then get on with the game. Either way, it's not obvious, we're moving on. Call stands. There was nothing about that. I would say That did not meet the level of clear and obvious. It met the level of amazing. And you'd want that, especially if you're New York or L.A., you'd want that to count.
Mm-hmm.
But was it obvious? Like, now we are still at a point, we're still not yet to a point in time where we feel like we know how all the body parts work and which count and which don't. We had the 2 feet, but they had to be different feet.
Right, with George Pickens on Monday night. And now here we got, it was the same leg. Same leg, but not the foot. So, like, the shin, I feel like any other leg part takes the place of even 2 feet. Like, right, if you get a knee down in bounds or a butt cheek down in bounds, but no feet.
Fine.
I think that's fine, right? So that's where we ended up last night.
But I want to know, like, where the shin starts. Like, I wasn't mad that it happened because I had Wilson and the Jets, and, like, I wanted it to count. But you can't tell me that there was anything obvious about that. Like, where are we drawing the line between the knee and the shin?
Yeah, I thought the one shot from, like the front of the end zone, where you could see the shin hitting – didn't clearly show that the knee wasn't hitting at the same time out of bounds. I didn't think it was clear and obvious anyway. I would say there was some question because of the angle that was presented at. And then when they did it, you know, from the other way, you couldn't see the other part. I didn't think it had to be overturned, I guess, is what I'm saying. Like, I think you're saying the same thing. But I'm fine that it was. It looked close enough to okay, but that's not supposed to be the standard. Like you're saying, it's supposed to be better than that. So I don't know.
We'll never know,
yeah.
Right? We'll never know.
I felt like it was a crime against humanity.
Oh, let's go.
That on the Corley play, while they're trying to figure that out, they at least tell you what the possibilities are, right? I think Terry McCauley did explain if the ball is acted upon by the Jets, they're going to get it where he fumbled, like the half-yard line or something. If it was fallen on by the Texans, it's going to be their ball and a touchback. If it rolled out of bounds, it's going to be Houston's ball and a touchback. Then they went to commercial instead of showing us where the ball went. Like, they could have rewound the tape. They could even literally, I would have watched that play backwards until the spot where they showed the ball. But like, yeah, oh, well, I guess we'll wait till we come back. What? This is not, is it a touchdown? Is it Houston ball? Is it Jets ball? Those are the choices, and you're selling me insurance now? You hold off for a second here, all right? Sell me some insurance after you tell me whose ball it is. I'll wait. But you don't go away and not show me a single replay of where the ball ended up. It's the only thing that matters on the play now is where the ball ended up, if we agree that he dropped it early, which I think we did before they went to commercial. Like, what are you doing here? Just show me that play. Well, it was a terrible job to take a break there.
I mean, you know as well as anyone, those kinds of things are pre-scheduled.
Well, you gotta be able to adapt. You're going to be able to wait.
I can't remember why I wasn't watching the game during that play. I was must have been watching something else in the house, but I wasn't watching the game during that play.
That was really annoying to me. And I'm not exactly – that's exactly how they did. They said, like, okay, we think it's we're going to get it overturned on him dropping it early, and here are the choices of what could happen. Because they, I think, all the people talking, nobody knew exactly where the ball went when the play ended, so they couldn't tell you. What could have told you was some video.
Was it obvious that he had fumbled before the goal line?
I don't know how obvious, but, like, yes. I feel like Al and Kirk and Terry got to, here's what's going to happen. They're going to have to decide where the ball. They're going to figure out where the ball ended up, and that's going to determine the play because it's almost definitely was a fumble.
It was more obvious than when Kyle Pitts did it last week?
I guess so. Yeah. I think I just don't know why they couldn't have just, you know, given us the information at that moment.
Well,
it was kind of annoying to me. Maybe
we're never going to know the rules, right? We're just never going to know the rules. It's always just a little bit out of reach. Shins,
right?
Clear and obvious is only what we go by when it is what we go by, and other times. What game was I watching? The Vikings and the Rams. That was pretty obvious that the guy's face mask was turned all the way around his head.
Oh, there was one of those early last night, too.
Okay.
There was one, because Herb Street even said, I give him a lot of credit, because he even said, because there was it took a while for them to call a face mask penalty on someone. I don't remember which team it was on. Doesn't matter. But there was the flag was late coming in, and he said something to the effect of, where was that in our Viking game last week or whatever it was? Because we could really use that. It seemed like maybe they got some help on that one or something to that effect. Oh, he said he probably had a meeting afterwards.
I didn't see that either.
He probably had a meeting afterwards. Because, yeah, it's one of those moments where you're like, okay, and what can SkyRef do and not do? And we don't know, and nobody knows, including Kirk Herbstreit.
That's right. I mean, that was last Friday right at this time
right. When
I asked you, is it okay if we just talk about the refs for a minute?
Right.
Because I don't believe that those so-called parameters and you know, whatever, designations, which calls can be reviewed and which not, I don't believe they're real. And you used to maybe think you could know, because challenges were all within the confines of the game. They were all from the coaches. I mean, or from the booth when it's under 2 minutes, you know. But still, like everything that was reviewed was official. It was either a challenge play from the coach, or it was one of those other ones inside 2 minutes, scoring plays. You knew what the terms were, and now you don't. Because now we have SkyRef, mm-hmm. SpaceRef, MoonRef. Now we have somebody else who is reviewing plays all the time, and the premise is, here I go again. I mean, the premise is that it's going to move the game faster, just make it better, correct obvious misses. They use this for ball spots. Is it a first down or not? It's really quick. You see the guy flick the switch on his earpiece, on his belt. He hears first down or not, points his finger across his chest, you know, to the other officials, and they just continue the game. We don't have you seen a measurement this year?
A couple, but yeah, it's not often. Right.
They're not in every game anymore.
Right.
So you've got this other person who's running all that, and no longer are all the challenges confined within the game. So, okay, well, we can't review that because it's a penalty. No, yes, you can, and you do. And last night it happened. It's the same as ever.
It's an endless pit of complaining. Fortunately, it doesn't feel like the Bills have been really victimized by any of it yet, but there's still time.
They will.
We're not even halfway through the season yet. They've only played 8 games. They play 17 now, right?
They will.
Yeah, so they got time. They got plenty of time.
Well, I guess just get over it. The Sabres play tonight, home against the Islanders. Hockey fights cancer. Kevin Adams will join us for the first of his semi-regular visits over the course of the season. That'll be at 5:30 today. Sal will be on at 4. Sam Panayotovich coming up in 10 minutes from BetQL Daily. We'll do picks, I don't know when.
Somewhere in there, I suppose.
4:40 or 5, maybe?
Wherever it fits in, man.
The Bills are they still 6-point favorites? That's the last I looked. They were 6-point favorites against Miami. We talked to Joe Ostrowski yesterday, and I don't know. He said he was going to stay away from it. I just have a hard time betting Miami on this one. And I'm one to just kind of question all the spreads. You know, why? If it doesn't make sense to me, why is it this way? And to me, this feels like a game where the Bills should be bigger favorites. But guess not. Yeah, it's still 6 and 49.5. And, you know, think of last night, right? That was a questionable one to many, mm-hmm. that the Jets would be favored, but they
comfortably won.
Kind of comfortably won, yeah.
Yeah.
After, as you said a long time ago now, a really rough start. I mean, it's hilarious when they're bad.
We've had a lot of fun
with the Jets.
I mean, they're getting booed like first series.
Yeah.
They're getting booed. I mean, it's so.
The first play is to Adams on the right sideline. He's got his man beat, and Rodgers throws it into the crowd.
Well, they got there. So, I mean, you know, good work.
This is such another, as we've talked about a lot this week, huge game for Tua and the Dolphins to try again. So far, it's almost always been futile to beat Josh Allen and the Bills. Having lost to them already this year, having fallen into a huge hole in the standings, 3.5 games behind with that tiebreaker loss on top of it. And Tua, it's not just the Bills. I mean, his career, he's had a lot of these games where you just sort of are reminded that he's not on the top level. His record, and also with the point spread I read, on the road against good teams is brutal. Compared to Matt Ryan, he was somebody. Matt Ryan was somebody else, apparently, who had this career, or at least for a stretch. And I don't remember. It's too long ago, I guess. Maybe I would have at the time, but really thought of Matt Ryan that way as somebody that
struggled
on the road against good teams was going to lose. But that's been Tua so far, and who knows what happens next. But for him, it's another opportunity to rewrite that.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, the question, it's not just him. It's about whether the Dolphins for once can do anything against Allen, who has just absolutely destroyed them. The four home games, or the last four, Allen against the Dolphins, I mean, 28, 30-something, 40-something, 50-something.
Yeah, it's like offensive player of the week type stuff, like from Allen when he plays this
normal
team. It's very, very much how it usually goes. Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting my – I also, on one hand, think, of course, the Bills own this team and the game's in Buffalo and, you know, why would you not expect the Bills to just handle business here? But something about where they both are is just sort of stuck in my head, and I feel like I haven't thought like this about a Bills game in a while. Really, because the Bills, when have they been so comfortable, you know? Like, it freaks me out that they should feel comfortable because of the lead they have. And I think you probably, as an athlete, as a coach, probably are fighting against that, right? Like, trying to keep McDermott and the coaching staff, trying to keep everybody's attention. And the players know, they'd be telling themselves, like, every one of these matters, this really matters. But, like, literally, they also know that they have a cushion. And the Dolphins know they do not. And that just concerns me. I wonder, when we talked with Joe a little bit about this yesterday, I mean, everything is considered. Everything is baked in to where these lines end up in these totals. I wouldn't go near this game because I just don't – I'm not sure – I don't have confidence about it because of this point. And it's one of my least favorite points to make because whoever knows? We're never going to know. The Bills aren't going to tell you. They might.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Say that they weren't as sharp or attention to detail or something, because it'll explain a sloppy loss if it comes. But is that really what happened? I mean, I don't know. You just have to take their word for it. But it's in my head
or
this
not.
Week. Yeah, right, or not. But it's in my head this week. You can tell. I mean, I'm not sure what I would want to do with this game.
If they were favored by 8, would it feel any different?
Yeah, no, I think it would. When you asked me, I think, the other day, and I hadn't seen the lines yet, maybe it was even on postgame Sunday, I said 8.5.
Okay.
I think was my number. And that's a pretty big miss. But, yeah, I think I would. I feel like the line is being held back by this point. And so if it's getting any credence at all, I'm just a little worried about it. It always felt, this week has felt like a big week for the, you know, who wants it more crowd.
I wonder what our next guest will say about it, Sam Paniatovich, because I wonder if the fact that it's 6, what it says about the Bills that might mean something. We'll talk to Sam next, look at the rest of week 9 as well. Sal Capaccio at 4, Kevin Adams at 5:30 pregame. For the Sabres and the New York Islanders. The Sabres have won 7 straight home games against the Islanders. And so they'll try to make it 8 tonight. The Sabres GM, Kevin Adams, with us at 5:30. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here at Batavia Downs for the Legends and Stars show. Autograph signings tonight. Joe Andreessen, Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, with Andreessen first up at 6. We'll give you more details throughout the day. This is WGR.
They're a explosive offense. They've got probably the best team speed in the NFL, certainly on the offensive side. In this case, Tua is a phenomenal player, and so you could see the difference that was made in the game last week where he was back with them. And so, you know, it's something that we've got to have a really good practice today, and we've got to get ourselves ready to go for Sunday to play our best football.
Sean McDermott, he's told us that many times over the years about the Dolphins. I'm not saying he's wrong. Most people would agree.
but the Bills have had no trouble with Miami, winning 12 of the last 13, including playoffs. And even last week, Greg Cosell was interesting on them on One Bills Live. Like, I didn't really see what they used to look like.
Yeah. The Inbreakers, I think, was the play he specifically said. Like, didn't see really any of that from Tua. And that might play into what I mentioned. I heard Chris Brown point out yesterday after watching the tape of the Arizona-Miami game, is that the ball was coming out even faster than usual, which makes sense. I mean, I think you might want to, especially first game back, make sure you're careful with that quarterback above all others.
On the line now, the Western Hotline, in fact, the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovich. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app, and be sure to listen to the BetQL Daily podcast. For more analysis, just search BetQL Daily wherever you find your podcast. Well, this doesn't need to become a regular thing, but I think for the second week in a row, and we are at a track, Sam, I believe we're going to talk a little horse racing.
I hope we can talk horse racing, because I do have a long shot in the last race at Del Mar today. But first, I just want to clear something up. Please tell me that Bulldog is talking to the rapper Chris Brown about the Bills. Is that a real thing?
You might be. There could be another Chris Brown involved.
No. This is Chris Brown has been a long time sports reporter in town. He's worked for the Bills for a long time, and he's the radio play-by-play guy. Old friend. Oh, used to work at the station way back when. So yeah,
I just picture Bulldog and Chris Brown, the rapper, yucking it up about Buffalo Bills football. That would make my week.
Yeah.
All right. So who's the horse, Sam? Let's get it in. Come on.
All right, write it down. It is the 12th horse in race 10. His name is Amori City. He's going off right now at 10-1. By the time this segment ends, your audience will have knocked him down to 4-1, and he will come in second place like last week from the bar in Chicago. I hear that the trainers are high on him, that he should not be 10-1. So I played him a little, longer shot, 10-1, and then I did an exacta box with the 4, the 11, and the 12. We like the 12, but we're going to box them with the 4 and the 11. Race 10, Del Mar tonight.
That's tonight. Okay. That's not the Breeders' Cup.
It is. Breeders' Cup is at Del Mar.
Oh.
Oh, it's part of the Breeders' Cup. I always thought that was just tomorrow.
Well, it's today and tomorrow, but this is not like the big race. It's one of 10 races today at Del Mar.
Okay. Well, thank you. Good luck, everybody. Amori City. So we've been talking a lot this week. Sorry?
I said that's the one. Sorry.
That's the one. A little bit of a delay because we're on remote. Sorry, Sam. We've been talking this week about the Bills being 6-point favorites against Miami. At the risk of sounding like a homer, I'm a little bit surprised by that there would be people spending money on the Dolphins plus 6. But I do know, like, that's kind of how betting gets you. Last night, the Jets were an example of this to some. You liked them. But it was maybe a little bit confusing why they would have been favored. What does the Bills line say to you, if anything?
They're clearly thinking Miami's going to do something to keep it close. I mean, there's a reason they opened it just shy of 7. And, you know, it's sitting right now at a couple of really sharp offshore shops at 6.5. To me, that's the trappiest line in the NFL. It just is. When a good team is laying 6.5, it's like, oh, they only have to win by 7. And then they kick a field goal to win. Like, that's what I've experienced over my life. I don't like Miami. Let me be completely clear. Like, I don't like Miami, and you guys have probably chronicled the history between these two teams all week. I think Buffalo's great in the teaser. You know, a lot of you still have the ability to tease at minus 120. You know, talk me out of Buffalo winning the game and, you know, a team like, well, I don't know, Dallas plus 8.5 or Seattle plus 7.5. You know, you take two teams to the dance, you get 6 points both ways. I think Buffalo's winning. So I would go from Buffalo -6 to pick. Let's call it Seattle +1.5 to +7.5. Buffalo should win, and I think this is the James Cook game. I mean, the rushing prop is 64.5. That seems a little low, does it not? I think he's going to run and run and run some more. And if Buffalo does get ahead, which they've proven they can against Miami, James Cook gets the ball 20 times, and he should go over his prop 64.5.
Yeah, that was kind of the story of the first meeting back in week two was James Cook. He had a big, long touchdown run in that game. Sam, something that has freaked me out about the line, Mike asked me, I think, on our postgame show Sunday night after the Bills beat Seattle, what do I think the line would be? I never look. I like when he asks, and he'll give me credit for being pretty good at it. And I guessed 8.5, and then he came back with, I think it was 6 on Sunday night. And I'd feel better about picking the Bills if they were 8.5-point favorites. I'm freaked out on this front chiefly. Miami has to be desperate. And the Bills, I think it would be a challenge to not feel pretty cozy where they are, even though the Jets won last night. And so I've got, you know, it's a big game for the who wants it more crowd, because I would think Miami would have a certain level that they could get to that maybe the Bills would have to really work to get to.
It's amazing how the gambling mind works, isn't it, Bulldog? We like it. Oh, I don't like it at 6. I like it at 8.5. You know, but I see what you're saying. Like, I get it. Like, on the surface, when you throw Buffalo -6 into the apps and in Vegas, it looks very easy to just lay the 6. And yes, Miami might be desperate. There's also a reality where Miami guys is just not that good. Yeah. And this coach who parades around the sidelines with his vape pen and his sweatsuits, there's a world where that team is starting to tune him out. I mean, imagine being Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle in that game against the Colts when they touch the ball a combined 3 or 4 times. Like, you have to look to the coach and be like, dude, what the hell? Like, we have so much talent and speed and skill, and you're handing the ball off to the white fullback with the game on the line. Like, you are so smart, you have outsmarted yourself. I think part of that division in that room is that Mike McDaniel is starting to get tuned out. I wouldn't be betting Miami, but I understand the nervousness, if you will, when you only see Buffalo at -6.
Maybe I'm realizing here that the gambling mind and the coaching mind are like cousins. Because, yeah, the gambling mind is, I like it, so that means I shouldn't like it. And the coaching mind is, I have Tyreek Hill, so I should give the ball to Patrick Ingold. There's some similarities in that.
I don't know what they're doing. I bet them +3 a couple weeks ago against Indianapolis. They're up 13-10, and it's 3rd and 1, and Achan is running for 5 yards of carry, and Achan is on the bench, and he hands the ball to the fullback, and the fullback fumbles, and that was the beginning of the end. By the way, I talked to one of my best buddies in Vegas who's a bookmaker. Now, this made me feel better for about 5 minutes until I looked at my spreadsheets. He said that October 2024 was the worst month for the house he can ever remember. So he's been booking bets for 15 years in Vegas. He said we got destroyed by favorites and favorites and more favorites, and that's NFL and college. And I said, oh, well, I'm a dog player, so I feel a little bit better. And then I looked at my accounts and I thought, nope, I don't feel better. I do not. I have, for 4 straight weeks, guys, I have come on your show and given you underdogs that fight for 3 quarters and die in the 4th. Wisconsin, UNLV, both last week. Like, this has to turn around eventually. And that takes me to my favorite underdog that nobody's going to want to bet, and I will get made fun of when it loses. Indiana should not be laying 7.5 at Michigan State. Like, in no world. And I like Indiana a lot. Their coach is awesome, Cignetti. I'm a fan of their roster. Their quarterback is back, Curtis Work. This game should never be 7.5. So Indiana will win by 21, and I will cry on Saturday, and I will hear about it. But I just, in no world should a team facing this much pressure, we're talking about them potentially being undefeated, going into Ohio State, playing in the Big Ten Championship. I'm sorry. I'm not – it will never be me laying 7.5 with Indiana on the road in November. It will never be me.
You know, don't beat yourself up too bad. I mean, I don't know that the line's going to move 4 points like they do in horse racing when you come on, but I think I'm already on it, Sam. I'm taking Michigan State right with you. I'm getting 8 at BetMGM, so there you go.
Unity. Unity, Mike. Unity. I love it.
I got your back. Anything else from Sunday? In the NFL, we've got, of course, as always, a lot of interesting games. How about the Ravens? I'm interested in your take on them. After coming off the loss to Cleveland at home against Denver, I could see Denver causing them problems, but I don't know if the offense can keep up.
Well, if they fall behind, they don't have the ammo. And I just saw that their star running back is doubtful, which in my world means he's out. So that's one less weapon for Bo Nix. Going into a building where, let's be real, it's a lot tougher to play than, you know, than most places in the NFL. I actually, you know, I gave out Ravens minus -8 on our show yesterday. And then today during our show, it was moving because the reports were looking good on Lamar Jackson. So this number opened 10. We saw the news, Lamar missing practice. It went down to like 7.5. And I thought, okay, two things. Lamar's going to play. I never believed he wasn't going to play. Right. And number two, when they start to get optimism from the reports, the line's going to go back. And you look at it now, and here we are back at 9.5. Do I love 9.5 as much as I loved 8? Absolutely not. But it's still Baltimore pass for me. I also like him in the first half, which is minus 5.5. I think they're going to be up like 10, 13 nothing in this game and just run the ball at will second half. Bo Nix playing catch-up terrifies the hell out of me. So, look, I think Denver's been a great story. I think Denver is clearly going to be a popular play. Wow, it's a good team catching points, but this could be the Baltimore buzzsaw coming back off the loss to Cleveland, which we talked about last week, you know, taking Cleveland, taking 9. I would be on Baltimore here. I know it's a big number, but this is a really, really bad spot. And you go through that Denver schedule, not a lot of wins against good teams, guys. So I think it's a tough spot. Baltimore going back home, I think they should get right.
Yeah, we were all on the Browns last week, especially you two.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah, I didn't expect them to win the game, but I like the spread felt pretty juicy, and we ended up ended up on the right side of that. What about the Bengals and the Raiders? That number I think was higher. Is that maybe coming down because of Higgins now again, or did I misread it earlier? Because I'm seeing 7 right now.
Yeah, this look ahead was 9.5. That's the 11-day number that they put out the week before. It was 9.5, and it's come down. I mean, you're right. It's 7 everywhere. I wouldn't bet this game with your money, Bulldog. I get the Vegas angle, though, because you guys were talking about Vegas last week. I don't think that's a good team talent-wise, but they clearly play hard, man. I mean, they're hanging around against Kansas City. Their coach kicked the field goal down 8 to cut it to 5 against the Rams.
Yes, let's go.
You're down one score, and now you're down one score. But they've been covering. So I'm certainly not laying it with 7 with Cincinnati. But I understand the appetite to bet Vegas because to this point they are still fighting, and sometimes in the NFL that's more than half the battle.
I tweeted last night about Houston's field goal, Sam, to make it to 21-13, but they only did it after running a couple plays on that final drive. Like, you can't do both. You can't run those plays and then kick. You got to either kick or just go for the touchdown. And Kostos came back with, well, you know, he had the under or something, the coach. So, I don't know. He's probably kidding, but that was a weird one for me, what Houston did.
Kostos likes to blame the coaches having money on the game when he loses. That's just his thing. That's his vibe. I also, like, I texted you last night, Mike, and I go, I can't believe we actually wager on this league. I mean, how bad was the officiating and the, like, all the flags? It's just, like, they just throw flags. And my favorite play in the NFL is when they throw 8 flags on one play and they just keep coming in. Like, you know, like every ref throws a flag. It's an amazing sport, and I will gamble on it all weekend, but sometimes I wonder why I do.
Let's leave it with that. Sam, good luck in week 9, and we'll talk next week.
All right, guys. Always fun. Let's go Amore City.
Amore City at Del Mar. Appropriate as we're at Batavia Downs today. That was the host of BetQL Daily, Odyssey Sports, BetQL Insider, Sam Paniatovich. BetQL Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all of the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. Could be a weekly feature.
Del Mar sounds like the racetrack that if you were like a writer on a sitcom that you would use for the joke. Like, you know, if there's some horse racing angle, I just feel like Del Mar is like, it just sounds right.
Yeah, I like it too. No offense to the folks here at Batavia
Downs. No, I don't know.
Del Mar. Or, I like the point.
Or any of the other well-known racetracks.
We will have Sal on at 4. The Sabres are home to the Islanders tonight. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog at 803-0550. This is WGR. Show up in the Bulldog at the Legends and Stars show. Memorabilia sports cards, autographs here at Batavia Downs today and tomorrow. Joe Andreessen, first up, signing tonight at 6. Dawson Knox, Dalton Kincaid, also scheduled later today. There are tickets necessary for autographs and also admission to the show, $10. Kids 12 and under get in free. And you can also, with that paid admission, receive $10 in free play on the gaming floor. For more details, and I'm sure there are lots more, including the autograph prices, go to legendsandstars.net. Do you still have any autographs? Did you ever indulge?
Hardly ever. I feel like the last time this came up, it might even be the last time we were here, would have made sense for it to come up then. I did get O.J. Simpson's autograph when I was a little kid.
That's right. I remember that.
And I can picture it's like a little spiral notebook, you know, like a handheld, you know, notebook. So it's a small piece of paper, you know, like 6 inches wide, long, maybe. So I know what it looks like. I feel like the last time I thought about it, I went looking for it where I thought it would be and did not find it. So it may be, you know, gone. I don't know. It's not the kind of thing that was ever in a place where someone could have mistakenly thrown it away. I may have misplaced it over the years, and I just, you know, it's in a crawl space under some HO train gear or something. I have no idea where it is, I think, at this point.
But it's the thought that it might still be around that keeps you going.
Sure. Yeah, I will look. I doubt I'm going to go home tonight and look. But at some point, this conversation, I'll remember it probably. And, you know, now that I don't have, you know, the opportunity to blow 4 or 5 hours at a time golfing as the weather is changing, I'll have time on my hands. So fall and winter are attic time. So I will go looking probably at some point to try to find this thing. That might be, oh, I have a Paul Westerberg autograph somewhere too. Lead singer songwriter from one of my favorite bands, The Replacements. I got an autograph of his, and
firsthand?
And I still know, I still regret it. Because he was talking to a friend of mine that he knew very well and that I knew very well, and I'd never met Paul Westerberg, and I fanboyed my friend.
You moved in on him.
I moved in, and then I went for the, like, hey, can I get you? And I just felt like a jerk. My friend has never given me any guff about it. It's many, many, many years ago now, but I always felt like a jerk. Like, I should have just been I should have been too cool to ask Paul Westerberg for his autograph. But I wasn't. I totally nerded out and said, like, all the dopey stuff you would say to someone like that. And now I never want to meet any of my heroes ever again. Because this transaction went so poorly for me. I just feel like I just did the exact thing that celebrities probably wish you wouldn't do. Which I just said all the cliche stuff.
Yep.
And then ended with a, can I get your autograph? And I walked away thinking, like, that did not go well.
No, I mean, that's what Ross would say. We just talked to Ross Tucker about, you know, being, who was he with that was super, Jason Kelce.
Yeah.
He was out with Jason Kelce and just all the people that stopped.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, talked to him.
I thought of that. I thought of this story when he was telling us about that.
Yeah.
It's always right there. Like, anytime I hear a story about an awkward encounter with a famous person, I think of myself meeting. And well, I recognize Paul Westerberg is not Elvis or Mick Jagger, but for me, he's a hero, and I just completely nerd fanboyed out.
Well, tonight and tomorrow, you do not have to worry about any of that because you are paying money.
Right. That's right. That's right.
You are paying money for the autographs.
Yep.
And you will get one.
Yep.
If you have the ticket, you will not have to worry. You know, you will not have to cut the line. There will be a line, and it will all go very smoothly.
And maybe if you're fortunate, Dawson Knox or Dalton Kincaid or whomever you're looking for won't be talking to one of your friends.
Yeah. That'd be good.
So you won't humiliate them as well.
We'll get to Sal next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.